originally going to be delivered on Sunday morning in the worship period, but Brother David Flatt suggested that it might be better to be presented tonight for some in the area to come and hear the lesson. So I hope it will fall on ears that will be able to use it appropriately. Thank you for your presence tonight. It's good to see so many here. Evangelists and Brother Vernon Teagarden. It's always humbling to preach in light of someone in the audience who you knew when you were just a child. And I remember being at his house when I was in the eighth grade, and he was preaching in Morgantown, West Virginia, and playing with his son, Sean. And many things have transpired in his life and my life since then, and yet we look forward to an abode in heaven where we'll see all of our loved ones again one day. We're losing our kids. I don't think that's anything that we don't know. Children are falling away who've been raised in the church 4 years and presently falling away at an incredible rate. As I go around the country and I talk to various people in churches, it seems like when I propose a statistic or a figure, they say, no, it's higher than that. I've had some people say, we've lost 100% of our children in this congregation. And yet, this is nothing new. We go all the way back to Judges, the second chapter in verse 10. And there we read, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done. And that happens continually, unfortunately, in the kingdom. There are those that do not walk in the footsteps of their fathers. And that's what we hope to prevent. That's what we should pray for. In this regard, I think this is the most significant lesson of the week. I will give two caveats first. I am no expert in this area. And in raising children, ours are still a work in progress. In fact, a couple had to go to the woodshed even today. So it's yet to be seen in the next 10 years what our children will turn out like. But I hope that the principles that we present tonight will be applicable to all of you. The second caveat is there are those in this audience, I'm sure, who have lost children to the world. This is not a lesson of indictment or condemnation of you. The best you can do at this point is to pray and set an example and hope that your children come back to the Lord. This lesson is primarily for those who still have children under their purview of influence. Whether it is your children or, as was said in the prayer, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, whoever it may be, to be able to influence them for good. So if you've lost children, then use your influence to try to help others not to lose their children. You know, I've thrown around the statistic 60% of children are becoming unfaithful, and everywhere I go, people say, no, it's higher than that. So maybe 60 to 90% of children in many places are becoming unfaithful. In some places, maybe it's not that much. I received some statistics from a different brother who said, these are the percentage of children that do remain faithful. And of course, these are just suggestions. These aren't absolute rules. But apparently, possibly 93% of children with spiritually strong parents remain faithful. And by spiritually strong parents, we mean loving, caring, godly, teaching, meditating, studying, parents that talk with their children about God's Word. 93% become unfaithful. And for those of you that have an unfaithful spouse, 73% with one strong spiritual parent remain faithful. And then with reasonably active parents, those that just come to gospel meetings or come to worship but really aren't praying and studying with their children and talking with them of spiritual things, about half of them fall away. And finally, spiritually weak parents, about 6%. Now imagine if we could keep all children faithful. I think you could propose a statistic of maybe 25%. Again, these are just ideas here. These aren't set in stone. But imagine a church of 100 members, where 25% growth is seen every 18 years. That would be about 8 families with 3 children per family. And that might include people moving in the area and being converted. In 18 years, you'd have 125. In 36 years, 156. 54 years, 195, 72 years, 244, and 90 years, 305. Again, those are just hypothetical numbers. But I think that is possible if we work at it. And you might say, well, would a church really grow that much just by keeping their children faithful? I can tell you from the denominational world, from our friends in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, that many of the more conservative Mennonites do keep their children faithful, and they see this kind of growth simply from keeping their children faithful. And every few years, the churches have to split because they're too large. I think we can do better. But often we see the opposite result. Churches of 80 go to 60, go to 40, go to 20, and go to 10. And you know as well as I do, in traveling across the country, you can worship in congregations with large auditoriums that used to swell. They used to put chairs out. And today, there's only a handful of people left, often because children do not remain faithful. Well, let me ask you, have you ever imagined if you won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, what that would be like? You know, my grandfather used to always send his in and hope that he would win. One day I was thinking, what would I give to save one of my children from death? Would I give $1 million? Certainly. Would I give $10 million? Of course. And it dawned on me, I've already won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes 3 times with 3 children who are worth more than $10 million to me. And if you have children, you have won the sweepstakes. Most parents would consider their children the most precious and most valuable thing in their lives. However, we often fail in the most important responsibility to our children, that is keeping them faithful. As was said in the prayer from Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 4, fathers,